Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. You are out on the front line with the fruit of Islam. I am your host, Jihad Muhammad, from Atlanta, Georgia. Tonight, how much do you know about the harmful effects of the equipment that you use every day, such as microwaves, computers, big screen TVs, and cell phones? Tonight, we have a longtime supporter and helper of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Sister Dawn Muhammad from Muhammad's Mosque, number 25, North New Jersey, is our guest in the first segment. Sister Dawn is here to help our people by educating us about cell phone radiation and how to protect ourselves from the harmful effects of radiation from products that we use. That's in the first segment of our program. In the next segment, Boots on the Ground. Tonight, the editor-in-chief of the most powerful newspaper in the world, the Final Call News, Brother Richard Muhammad, will be in queue to talk to us about the Final Call News. And as we honor and salute some of the cities of the Fruit of Islam who have their boots on the ground. And in the final segment, Farrakhan speaks, roundtable talks tonight with Student Minister Abel Muhammad from Mosque Maryam, Student Assistant Minister Tony Muhammad from Muhammad's Mosque number 29 in Miami, Florida. And in place of the Chief Magistrate Court Justice tonight, we have the former State Captain of Birmingham, Alabama, now from Muhammad's Mosque 15, Brother Ray Muhammad, will be here tonight. In the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks, they will be discussing the timely and divine message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the time and what must be done, part three. So sit back, get your comments ready, get your questions ready. Let's sit back, buckle up, let's ride. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. Tonight, we have a very, very serious subject, a very important subject, and I'm honored tonight to have with us a wonderful sister, a longtime pioneer, a sister who has what we would say is the first original student captain in Muhammad's Mosque number 15, North New Jersey. 1978, she came into Plainfield and she registered, signed up, and she's been following the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan ever since. She trained the sisters up and down the East Coast, helping Brother Student Minister Abdul Kareem Muhammad. She traveled with the minister throughout the East Coast, from Chicago, all over the Eastern Seaboard, and I'm honored tonight to have her with us tonight. In 1993, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said of Muhammad's Mosque number 25, North, he said that North, Muhammad's Mosque 25, pound for pound, was the number one mosque in the nation. A lot of that was due to a sister that we have on the line tonight who has trained many sisters who have come through the North Mosque. Please receive our sister, Sister Dawn Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, ma'am.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you so much, Brother Jihad, and assalamu alaikum to all the brothers and sisters, family and friends who are on the line. First, want to thank you for inviting me to this wonderful, wonderful call and giving me the opportunity to give some much-needed information to the listening audience about what it is that we'll be speaking about tonight. So once again, I thank Allah much. I thank you for that wonderful introduction, and I say in very, very humble way, all praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and for our beloved brother minister, comforter, reminder, and friend, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So thank you once again, sir.
Oh, sister, thank you. And I had to introduce you to the listening audience because a lot of the Muslims that are on the line, they weren't present when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan rebuilt the work. And so many may not know who you are or your work that you have done helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to help reestablish the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I want to say on behalf of a lot of us out here, thank you so much, sister, for what you have done and what you continue to do. And this subject that you brought to us tonight, cell phone radiation, my goodness. I want to be honest with you, Sister Dawn. I was very ignorant to the fact of this information until we got together on it. So there's a lot that I don't know, and I'm going to be just like the listening audience tonight. I want to sit and learn. And I want all who are listening tonight to really take notes. Our sister has a website, www.healthy4my3 is one of the websites that she has set up. So just remember that. We'll repeat that again, www.healthy4my3. is one of the websites that we have here with us. Sister Dawn, tell us what inspired you to get involved in this topic or this radiation and cell phone radiation. What inspired this?
Well, I have to tell you, 6 years ago, me, like everybody else, had a cell phone, was constantly on it, and was receiving a burning sensation on the side of my face, in my ear, and was getting a headache. And it got to the point where I didn't even have to put the phone directly on my face. It was just close enough to it that whenever I was on it, it was just this burning that I just really couldn't stand. And so one day I was talking to Sister Karima Muhammad, who is out of New York, is in Atlanta, Georgia right now, and I was explaining it to her, and she said to me, she said, Sister Dawn, I've been working with this company, and you need to put a cell guard on your phone to take away that heat and that radiation. And so I was very, very skeptical. I said, well, here we go with some trickery to try to figure out what's what. But because it was coming from Sister Karima, I said, well, you know what, let me go ahead and take a look at it. And I asked her to send me one. I got a cell guard and placed it immediately on the phone and have not received any of that heat or that radiation from that phone immediately. And so once I did that, I said, well, there's something to this. Let me investigate this and find out exactly what this is. So I started researching and reading everything I could on cell phone safety, what was going on with radiation, and then just realizing that we all have cell phones, but we're not listening or we don't know the dangers of having a cell phone, because all of us want technology. We want the big flat screen televisions. We want the latest hybrid cars. We got to have the bigger television than our next door neighbor. We got our microwave ovens. We have to have a Wi-Fi for our children. We have to have the tablets instead of reading a book. Just everything that's technological and wireless. And we don't understand that in technology, there is also danger in the technology that we have. And so from all of this electricity that we have what you call EMF or electromagnetic pollution, which comes from all of your electrical appliances. So we live literally in electromagnetic soup.
Mm-hmm.
Just within your own home, you can sit in a room. If you could see it with, you know, lighting, it would be so thick that you could cut it with a pair of scissors.
Wow.
So, not realizing, too, the dangers and the causes and the effects that it has on us with that. So it's a very, very dangerous thing. It's very, very real. If you were to even just Google EMF rays, cell phone safety, you would be on the computer for days just looking at the different research and stuff that goes on with that.
Well, let's talk about this radiation. what are we actually talking about? What are the absorption rates? What are we literally talking about when we talk about radiation?
Okay, your cell phone is considered a carcinogen. I don't know if we realize that or if we even know what a carcinogen is. A carcinogen means that it's cancer-causing.
Okay.
All phones have what you call an SAR level, or which is called a specific absorption rate for your cell phone. You can get your rate from the FCC or the Federal Communications System. And if you go to the FCC website, they will give you all that information right there and there. But we're not used to going and getting that information. And so therefore, because we're ignorant to it, we get the most powerful cell phones on the block, which is like having a computer in your pocket. You know, you have a cell phone that can get your Facebook page, get your Twitter, can do your money accounts. You put this inside of your pocket, but you don't realize what kind of energy and what kind of wireless connection it takes for that cell phone to work. And in doing so, you are giving yourself a toxic within your system, because once the radiation goes in, it closes up your blood cells.
Wow.
Causes toxins to come in, but then once those toxins come in and the blood cells close, there's no way for them to escape. So thus is the reason why you have a lot of skin rashes on people. I often ask the question, men ought to ask the question, why is it that all of a sudden that men, doesn't matter what race, color, creed, under the age of 25 are losing their hair in massive rates? And could that be a connection to their cell phone usage? Because it does, in fact, burn your hair growth cells.
Wow.
So, and you're walking around, people are walking around with these Bluetooths on their ears, and the thing that they say is, well, the Bluetooth is safer. I beg to differ. The Bluetooth is not safer, because you're putting that directly into the ear, and that contact that you get from the cell phone goes directly into the ear canal, hits the eardrum, and then introduces itself directly to the brain. So let's be for real about what's going on here. If you feel the heat on your face, wouldn't that wake you up and say that there's something wrong with this? And
absolutely.
Why wouldn't you say, I need to find out what's going on here, why do I have this heat? If you notice in your booklets, the books that you have, that, you know, your little book that tells you how to work your cell phone, it's actually a contract that you take. And in the back of most of the books, it will say to you, by accepting this contract or accepting this cell phone and using it, you are saying that you will not, under any circumstances, file a lawsuit against the cell phone company in the event that you get a tumor as a result of it. But of course, we don't read past how to turn it on, how to take a picture, how to transmit from this person to that person.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Now, you were talking about the harmful effects from the absorption. Autism, let's start with that. When you were talking about that, how some of the children are getting autism from it?
Well, there's research that shows it's very dangerous for pregnant women using a cell phone or constantly on the cell phone, because you understand that sound travels over water. We understand
right.
that the baby is in a sack full of water. You understand that it's a wireless connection that has to be taken. And so those radiation waves are constantly bombarding the fetus within the woman's body. And so therefore they found that women who are constantly on the cell phone during their pregnancies have children that have many, many behavioral problems, in addition to a linkage to autism.
Wow.
And so you have to ask your question, you know, why is autism so high in such a rate that it never was before?
Now, you were talking about the sperm count.
Oh, yeah. That's very interesting for men, because men put their cell phones in their pockets. It reduces your sperm count by 60%, and your phone does not have to be on. Your phone can be in the pocket. It doesn't matter whether you're using the phone, whether you're talking on the phone or not. The cell towers are all over the country, all over the world. And so every time you walk past a cell tower, your cell phone is getting a hit. Every time you're sitting in a car, you're sitting in a room with other people who are using their cell phones, your cell phone is getting a hit. So women should not put the cell phone in their breast pocket. Men should not put the cell phone in their actual pants pocket because of the fact of what it reduces the sperm count in men, and it also helps women along with giving them the breast cancer cells in the breast.
Wow.
Children, and you know, European countries are smart enough where they don't even allow children under the age of 16 to have a cell phone because
right.
they understand the fact that children's brains are softer, that their skulls have not hardened. But we will get a six-year-old a cell phone, we'll get a five-year-old a cell phone, and I almost cringe when I see people put cell phones on the heads of infants or babies. Because if it's frying your head and you can feel the heat, then why would you pass that on to a child knowing that it's doing the same thing at a faster rate to their head and to their brain cells?
Wow. Now, some cell phones have a higher absorption rate than others.
Well, you can go online to find out what your absorption rate is.
Right.
I don't have the figures directly in front of me, but depending on the phone, they have to let you know what it is.
Okay.
Right. And this is an interesting point I wanted to make. San Francisco is the first city in the country to pass a law that anyone who sells a cell phone has to show the absorption rate of the cell phone.
Okay.
Oh yeah, and that's in San Francisco. Now that's not something that they're going to broadcast, but it's something that they have done. And you have to ask yourself, why do they feel that it's important to do that? And the importance of it is because the stronger the phone is, the more radiation that it's emitting. Now, the other thing to understand, too, is that when your phone is like on the two bars and three bars and it has to struggle to get that power going, when you're using that at that rate, that means that it doesn't have enough power, but it's going to push itself to get to that power. So the lower your bars are, as far as to get to the strength of getting a connection, the more dangerous it is on your face.
Okay.
And your cordless phone at home is actually more dangerous than your cell phone.
Really?
So I want people to understand that it's not, cell phones are what we're talking about right now, but it's any wireless piece of equipment that you have or any electrical equipment that you have in your home as well. But your cordless phone in your home is more dangerous than your cell phone. Because it emits a whole lot more power. You have that the wire within the phone that makes it have to get that the signal to come through to your home, and so it's more dangerous than the cell phone.
Wow. Now the cell towers. Talk to me about the cell towers. We were talking about that because there was concern about that we should know the cell towers that are in our neighborhoods, around our schools.
Right. What's happening with the cell towers, of course, AT&T has to have their cell towers in certain areas. T-Mobile has to have theirs. Everybody has to have their cell towers so that they can, get more signals coming. And that's why they put on TV AT&T more 4G powers than this company, so on and so forth. You have cell towers in your neighborhoods that some of them that you know are there and some of them you don't know are there. And the importance of knowing that is because if your children live in an area where the towers are, then are they more susceptible to cancer-causing conditions like leukemias and skin rashes and things of that nature? And you have no fight against putting a cell tower up because these companies will pay the churches, the schools, or wherever they're going to have them. They pay them almost $20,000 a month to have a cell tower. And it's an unwritten law that people will protest it, but the unwritten law states that no matter how much you protest these cell towers, let the people protest, but under no circumstances will they win against us putting the cell towers up. So you have the government making you think that you're able to have a fight, but you have no fight against what's going on here.
Okay. Now the maximum, I think the maximum required by the federal government is 1.6 watts per kilogram, right, for our cell phones? Is that the law for us, and is it different for other countries? Does it make a difference on the watts as far as the danger that it does?
Well, let me just say this to you, Brother Jihad. It always makes a difference, but the thing of it is, because there are no real written laws as to what they can and can't do, they can tell you that it's that number so as not to scare the public off from what the real number is.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So you really don't have a clue as to what the numbers are and what they need to be. But you need to all you need to know is that this is a piece of equipment that emits radiation. This is a piece of equipment that has to get a signal from a radiated tower that is wireless. If you could hear the noise that the sound makes, because they have equipment and little devices that you can purchase from Amazon and what have you, and unfortunately I can't demonstrate it over the telephone, but if you could put this little thing on, turn the knob on, and hear the noise that your cell phone is making while you're having a conversation, you wouldn't even be able to hear your conversation because of the static noise that it makes. And
wow.
That in itself should tell you that there's something going on there. Now, I don't know, just for the sake of the audience, just experimenting, how many times have you been on your cell phone and, like, been in front of your radio, for example, and you hear that static noise, that noise?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can bear witness to that, that's the wirelessness going on. That's the noise that the cell phone is making because it's too close to your radio. And
okay.
Sometimes I've been on my cell phone and my telephone landline ring, and the cell phone, power behind the cell phone, will disconnect the regular landline telephone.
Okay. Now, we know that it can cause brain cancer, autism, and lower the sperm count by 60% in the male population. Now, what do we do about this, Sister Dawn?
Well, let me just say this. We're not going to give up the cell phones. We're not going to give up our computers. We're not going to give up any of the wireless things that we have. And since you're not going to do that, you need to protect yourself against it. And I don't want your show to sound like a commercial for products that people ought to buy all of a sudden. But I do want them to understand that there is protection out there for them for the products that they use. And since you have to have a cell phone, you need to put a cell guard on the cell phone. And what the cell guard will do, this particular cell guard that I'm involved with, it absorbs the heat and the radiation deflects it in a way. It also lets the body know that there's a foreign substance coming into it so that it makes it aware of what's going on. There's a whole science behind this whole entire thing, which just your one segment of this call won't do. But you
right.
need to have you really need to put a cell guard on the phone. And that way you will not feel the heat and you won't get the radiation going into your body and giving you the cancer. Now, if you're driving in your car, there's a reason why they tell you that they don't want you driving your cars while you're using a cell phone. And most of it has nothing to do with you being distracted while you're talking on the phone, although that's a good reason. But when you're in your car and you're driving and everybody has their cell phones on, it's like riding in a microwave oven, literally. Because when you're using the cell phone in an enclosed place such as your car, it causes the phone to beef up its signal strength to maintain or conduct with the tower that's on the outside, and that extra EMF strength goes directly into your body.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
okay.
Yeah. So
that's one, the cell guard for the cell phone.
For your cell phone. Now,
right.
you need to, because you're in your car also has your GPS system. That's a wireless, something wireless. It has your radio. Those hybrids are high in radiation. We have what you call a car harmonizer, which helps to balance out the radiation from the car, which I would strongly suggest you just don't use your cell phone while you're in your car.
Okay.
If you have to, then put your windows down. But, of course, if you're in Chicago with 20 degrees below zero, you don't have a choice to keep your windows down. But you need to be smart about what you're doing. In your homes, because, like I said, you have you have your televisions, you have your clock radios and all of that, you need to have what we call a room harmonizer, which actually harmonizes the room and doesn't cost you anything with your electricity. It's just a simple mechanism that you plug into your wall and will harmonize and balance the electricity flow that's going on in your house.
Okay.
Right. Now, the other thing is, you don't even have to be, people say, well, I don't use a cell phone. Well, that's fine, but everybody else around you does, and so your body is still getting hit with the rays. So you need to have what we call, we put a body pendant on to protect the body from the radiation that's all around you. because people are sensitive to electricity.
Right.
You know, so
right.
There's different levels of electricity, of the protection that you need to have.
Do you have a website that they can look up the information about the different protection things that
right.
you have available?
I have to say that Gia Wellness is the company that I'm with, and the website for that is www.healthyformy3.com.
Okay, okay. Brother Rafi, do we have anybody in queue that would like to talk to Sister Dawn? She's got about a good 15 minutes or more to go. Does anybody have a question or would like to make a comment?
No, sir, beloved. There's no one in queue right now.
Okay, beautiful. Okay. All right, well, we're going to keep on going.
I want to just mention something, just a couple of things to the
sure.
listening audience.
Sure.
You know, we need to understand that the body is an electromagnetic field within itself, and it runs off electricity. You know, it's electrical, the brain and all of that. And so when you think about something coming in to disrupt your natural biological field, like electricity, throwing it off, then all of that has something to do with everything that goes on within you. You know.
Wow.
So, yeah, so we really need to take all of that into consideration. If you're going to use your phone and you're not going to get one of these devices, then you need to make sure that the phone is held at least 12 inches from your head. Always talk on speakerphone as opposed to talking with the phone being directly, you know, on making body contact. And certainly keep the phone away from your children.
Right. What about, do you have anything that's the company have anything for like your computers that you can put on your computer?
Absolutely, absolutely. You need to. We have a universal guard that you need to put on your laptops, on your PCs that sit on the table. Anything that's wireless needs to have a universal guard on it. So if you're too lazy to read a book, and I have to say it that way because I just don't understand why anybody would not want to just take a good book and read it, as opposed to getting one of those other
yes,
things.
Ma'am.
You know, so
yes, ma'am.
So anything that is wireless, we have something for it.
Okay.
We certainly do.
What about these big screen TVs?
Well, that's one of the worst things ever. Because you figure most of us are living in small apartments, and then you have those giant televisions just because, I don't know what the reason would be, but that radiation emitted from that television alone is enough to make you sick, and I'm saying that figuratively. But ask yourself why you're tired sometimes from watching television, you know, because you're sitting right in front of that TV, and why your children sit and watch TV and they fall asleep while they're watching television. Well, it's not necessarily because they're tired. It's because all that the rays coming from that to give you that bright color and to give you that realistic picture is realistically killing you.
Wow. I was talking to one of our brothers, Brother Batim Muhammad from Atlanta, Georgia, who's also, I was going to him about, you know, this show I'm having tonight to, you know, bear witness mm-hmm. to what you're talking about. And he was telling me some things about the big screen, about how he had learned that to turn it off at night,
mm-hmm.
If some people sleep with it on and their body doesn't really rest,
mm-hmm.
it stays alive and it's like, wide open, and so when you wake up, you don't really feel like you've had any real sleep.
Well, you know what that is, Brother Jihad?
Mm-hmm.
You have a pineal gland in your head, in your brain, and
okay.
that brain needs total darkness for at least 8 hours so that it can rejuvenate the body. And so when you, you know, sleep at night, you know, you don't need a nightlight. That's the worst thing to do for a child at night is put a nightlight in the room. That pineal gland has to have total darkness for at least 8 hours in order for you to be rejuvenated in the morning. And that's another reason why they call the graveyard shift, unfortunately, people who work at night, because their body is shifted into a different direction. Excuse me for that.
That's all right.
You have your pineal gland is thrown off. So they call it the graveyard shift because literally it's going to your grave because your body is thrown off course from the natural way that things are supposed to be. So your TV should be turned all the way off, not going, you know, just so that the screen is off, but you'd still have that light going because that gland cannot function and cause you to function in the morning, and that's why you're so drained.
Wow. Sister,
you
dog,
know, so that's why it
like,
says, you know,
it
from
sounds like gloom and doom, Sister Dog.
Well, you know what? If somebody doesn't tell us, we will be doomed, you know. So it's now, let me just say this about your eyeglasses. Eyeglass frames should ideally be made from plastic with no wires in them, because otherwise they serve as an antenna to focus the radio and cellular phone waves directly into your brain.
Which can give you a headache.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then, you know, a lot of people say that they have the tubes, you know, they have the they don't have the Bluetooth in their ear. They have the earplugs with the wire cord. Now, the nonsense behind that is the radiation or the connection travels up the wire. And it's heating up because it's a wire. So it's heating up that wire as it's going up into your head. So that's not a safe thing as well either.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so
I mean, this is something here. This is really – now, we were talking – I don't know if we came to an answer to this question or not when I was talking to you offline, but we were talking about people who are getting diagnosed for certain illnesses. How do we know that actually with what's triggering it is the radiation, and you could be getting diagnosed for something which can cause a mixed diagnose because of what the radiation is doing.
Well, here's the thing. Like I was saying to you, we can't say that, like when you get to the doctor and he may say, well, you have a brain tumor or what have you, or you have leukemia.
Right.
That may be the end result. It's not to say that that's the total reason why somebody would get leukemia or brain tumor. However, that may be the end result of your usage of a cell phone. I'm going to give you an example of Johnny Cochran. His wife and his doctor were on CNN about 3 years ago, and they believe that his brain tumor was directly connected to his cell phone use. And the main reason they believe that is because the tumor was the size of his cell phone, the length of his cell phone.
Wow.
Because of that phone that he had up against his face. And I would encourage the listening audience to go to YouTube, because YouTube has Dr. Gupta. It has, you know, everybody believes everything that Dr. Oz says all of a sudden. But they also have people from the World Health Organization who have, some of their YouTube statements are for about an hour and a half long. And you will see many doctors on your YouTube stations. Just put radiation cell phone safety on YouTube, and you'd be surprised at the different topics that come up. And I'm always plastering this on my Facebook page, but it amazes me how people are more into hearing ignorance or sharing ignorance, but they won't share how you need to be safe with your cell phone and things of that nature. So,
right.
Yeah.
Now, well, okay. Here's a concern that I have, Sister
okay.
Dawn. Prosthetic limbs. And we were just talking about the wires that are in your phone, that are in your eyeglasses or whatever. What about
right.
people with prosthetic limbs, hip replacements, knee replacement parts, people with bad tickers, with bad hearts? So, I mean, should they be using cell phones at all, even with the guard?
Well, you know,
is that difficult to say?
Because I don't have enough information on that to say, but I will say this. If you have a prosthetic, that's something that you have to have. And just like I said, if you have to have a cell phone for your businesses or whatever it is that you use it for, but you have to have protection for it. If you were to have a bio pendant on, I believe, because I work around computers like everybody else every day, and I know the difference that having that bio pendant, the Gia Wellness pendant, I'm sorry, on me has made as opposed to me not having it. So when I take it off, I know the effects of it. You know, would a person with a heart pacer in, would it make a difference to them? I would say definitely yes. Anything that you can do to protect yourself, if you have a prosthetic, it's not going to cause you any more damage in using your cell phone to have the guard on or to have the cell phone pendant on or what have you to save yourself from that. That's not a concern,
okay.
The prosthetics or what have you, no.
Okay. Well, what about the iPhone 4 and the Blackberries and Asteroid? Are those more
They're all dangerous.
Impact?
They're higher impact. Let's put
they're
it this way,
impact.
Brother Jihad. I was using a flip phone. And all I needed my cell phone for was to make a phone call and to receive a phone call. Now, that was low powered. you have to have so much more power to generate your iPhone, because you're doing Instagram on it, you're doing a business on it, you're transferring funds to your bank, you're taking pictures. You have to really think about how much power does that take to do? And the more you have on it, the more power it takes to use. And so, you know, is it ignorant not to protect yourself? Yes, it is. Would you give your child a cigarette and tell your child that it's okay to smoke it, you're going to be okay? Would you give your child a line of cocaine and say, go ahead and snort this, or a reefer? So why would you give your child a cell phone or anybody a cell phone and think that they don't need protection against it?
Right.
The cell phone today is what cigarette smoke was 30 years ago. It's the silent killer.
It's the silent killer.
Right. And that's what's happening. It's causing leukemia. It's causing vision lost, because that is right up against your head and up against your face, going to the retina and what have you of your eyes. So it's causing a lot of problems that you see and don't see.
Okay. Can you give us some web addresses or YouTube addresses that we can look up a lot of information on this for the listening audience?
Well, like I said,
one, cell phone safety was one. EMF radiation was another one, right?
I'm going to give you newbirth.emf411.com. That's newbirth.emf411.com. And there's another one, electromagnetichealth.org.
Say that one more time.
Electromagnetichealth.org.
Okay.
And let me just—I just want to share this with you too. Let's see what cell phones. It doesn't just include like just your cell phones, but the electro pollution includes electronic equipment, radio and TV transmitters, microwave ovens, the wiring in your house. You know, people have all these kind of different technologies with the wiring in their house, and so that's electro pollution, and causes the EMF or electromagnetic field. So we have to ask ourselves, our grandparents didn't have televisions and stuff years ago, and they didn't have some of the problems that we have. As we got more technological and more advanced, we didn't protect ourselves. But I have to say, all praise is due to Allah, Master Farah Muhammad, for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because they gave us the Navy Bean. And
right.
The Navy Bean has a component in it that helps against radiation.
Right.
So ask ourselves, why did Allah, Master Farah Muhammad, tell us to eat the navy bean, eat the simple foods? And if you're not eating it, I would make sure I had a cup of beans every single day.
That's
because
what
there's
right.
Exactly. Because there's something within that navy bean, amongst other things, that helps against radiation. So when there comes a time when radiation comes from any kind of a bomb or what have you, and it's in our air, in our atmosphere, and we have consumed our bodies with our navy bean, then Allah has blessed us with a protection just in what we eat. So, yes, indeed. So you have to give credit to where credit is due.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're not eating your bean soup, you're not eating your navy beans, then you're not listening to Master Farah Muhammad, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, then, you know, you need to check yourself anyway.
Wow.
So he knew back then what was coming.
Absolutely.
And so he prepared us for it.
Right. And that's what the minister told us. He said, eat a bowl every day.
Every day. Just like I said, an apple a day will keep the doctor away. A bowl of bean soup a day will keep anything away.
Wow. What age would you recommend a child to be able to use a cell phone, or just cancel that out altogether, even with the guards?
Well, I wouldn't, you know, my thing is want and need.
I mean, it's just
right.
That's probably just a personal opinion I'm asking, I guess.
I would say 13 to 14 years of age.
Okay.
You know, it's a personal choice. Like, of course, I have children. My son is 17. He didn't actually get a cell phone until he was about 15. And does he have a cell guard on it? Yes, most definitely. And
okay.
Does he have a bio pendant, a Gia wellness pendant around his neck? Absolutely. So
okay.
So he has the protection that is needed. So that's why I said in the beginning, you're going to use it, protect yourself against it. Do your children need to have a phone? Some people will argue, well, they go to school. I need to make sure I can get in touch with my child. How did our parents get in touch with us?
Absolutely.
You know, so you have to make a personal decision, but if you're going to make it, I wouldn't give a child a phone until, you know, till they're at least 14 years of age, because we're talking brain development. So you want to talk brain development or the necessity to be able to get in touch with your child? Do you want to sit next to your child when they're 30 years old with a brain tumor and it's inoperable and you could have prevented it? Or do you want them to have all this technology? Do you want them to have those little Wi-Fi games, you know, that's causing carpal tunnels and stuff in children? Or do you want to have your children around? Send them outside, let them play. You know, let them jump some rope or do something or play hide and seek like we used to do. But keep them away from all the wireless stuff because you want to keep up with the Joneses.
Right, right. Well, you were talking about, for the few minutes that we have remaining, you were talking about having stuff next to your bed as far as alarm clocks, radios and things like that. What are you recommending, that you don't have this stuff around your bed at all, or does it have to be
Absolutely.
A certain amount of feet? What about charging your cell phones? I mean, does it should you charge your cell phone outside of your room?
Absolutely. If your cell phone is not being used, it should be turned off. And, I mean, if you're sleeping at night, what do you need your phone ringing for? Let somebody call you on your house phone. Your cell phone, when it's not in use, should be turned all the way off, and it should not be in the same room that you're sleeping in. Your bed,
same
you should not have a...
It.
You can charge your phone outside your room.
Right. What I'm saying is there a certain amount of feet that it should be away from you, period, even if, you know, if you're charging your phone, is that more dangerous to charge your phone and be in the vicinity of it, or is there a certain amount of feet you should be away from it, or what? Or it doesn't make a difference on that? Just keep it out of the room.
I would just be out of the room. I charge my phone in another room altogether.
Okay.
Yeah. When I'm sleeping, because I don't want any of that interference, that stuff floating around while I'm sleeping, I don't have anything in my room like that.
Okay.
You know, and we just need to get into the habit of that. Sleep is rest, and that's what you need is your rest, and you need all that stuff interfering with it out of your room. That may very well be why some people can't sleep at night.
Right, right. Well, what do you have coming up, Sister Dawn? Is there a tour you're doing with the with this information, or what's going on with you?
By Allah's grace and permission, I've worked 27 years at the post office, and tomorrow I will be retiring. And,
praise be to Allah.
Sister Kareem and I, if you would like to have us in your area, would love to come and do a full-fledged presentation on this to show you. We can do muscle testing to give you demonstrations on the effects of what happens directly when your phone is attached to you, just to talk about this and to give you the information. So if you want us to come to your area, you can contact me by going to GiaWithDawn@gmail.com. Or DawnMuhammad49@gmail.com, and I'll be more than happy to come and visit you and talk to you and to give you the information.
Beautiful, beautiful. And that's also the information is at www.healthy4my3. That's
dot
the
com.
Website.
Yes, sir,
dot
correct.
.com, that's right. Okay.
And that's 4, F-O-R, and T-H-R-E-E.
That's right, right. Okay. Well, for the few minutes that you got remaining, is there anything you just want to talk to the people about before you hang up tonight? I really appreciate you coming on. This information is priceless. I want you to know, and really, we would probably have to do a part two one day, inshallah, when you got more time, and since you're going to be, you know, leaving that job and getting back on your grind with the minister and moving out and soldiering and helping us with this nation of ours.
Well, that's one of the things I have to say, Brother Jihad, that I'm looking for, is working with our beloved minister and helping the brothers and sisters in the nation. Because that's the one thing I love doing was soldiering.
Oh, yeah.
So now I'm going to put myself in a position to be able to soldier like I was by Allah's grace and permission several years ago.
Mighty soldier, mighty soldier. I want to thank you so much, Sister Dawn, for coming on the show tonight. Is there anything you just want to say to the audience before you go?
I'd just like to say, Brother Jihad, thank you all very much for listening. Let's get behind our minister 1,000% and help him in any way, shape, or form that we can. And let's unite as brothers and sisters, as one family, loving each other and just doing the work. And may Allah bless us all and all that we do in His holy and righteous name of good. As-salamu alaykum.
Praise be to Allah. Wa alaykum salam, sis. May Allah bless you.
Thank you, sir.
That was Sister Dawn Muhammad from Muhammad's Mosque number 25, Newark, New Jersey, one of the first original student captain of the MGT in Newark, New Jersey. And I'm so honored to have her on tonight. I'm thankful to Allah that we were able to get her to come on. And believe me, we have not exhausted this conversation about cell phone radiation. And by Allah's help, we may be able to get her in Atlanta, and hopefully she's going to do a tour, her and Sister Karima, and go around the nation talking to our people. Because like she said, we're not going to stop using the equipment. We're going to continue using it. So if we're going to continue using it, we must learn how to protect ourselves as best we can from the radiation. Well, let's get on to our next segment, Boots on the Ground. And I believe our final call editor-in-chief, Brother Richard Muhammad, should be here shortly, inshallah. And before he gets here, we want to go ahead and acknowledge some of these mighty, mighty cities that has got their boots on the ground with the Final Call newspaper. Well, Allah came to North America to seek and to save that which was lost. The fruit of Islam is the army of Allah and His Messiah, thereby making the fruit of Islam saviors, soldiers of reform. Tonight, we want to salute some of the saviors and soldiers of reform in some of the major cities in America who have their boots on the ground with the Final Call News. Let me come on down here to the southern region real quick. Holler at the soldiers down in Greenville, Mississippi. You know Greenville, Mississippi. That's where the soldiers is out with their boots on the ground as they go out to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to reform our people. Come on up now. Shout out, Greenville. Mighty salute to you. Augusta, Georgia. Yeah, you know Augusta, Georgia. That's where the godfather of soul, James Brown's from. Well, Augusta, Georgia got their boots on the ground. The soldiers in Augusta are out seeking to save that which is lost, helping to bring the people to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Shout out, saviors, in Augusta, GA. Well, let's go down to the Gulf Coastline. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. You know Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The soldiers in Fort Lauderdale got their boots on the ground. The saviors and soldiers of our people out in the community reforming our people, helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Salute, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Durham, North Carolina. Yes. Mighty Durham, North Carolina. The soldiers in Durham, North Carolina got their boots on the ground. Saviors and soldiers of reform. Shout out, soldiers of Durham, North Carolina. Oakland, California. Yeah, you know the Bay Area. Soldiers in the Bay Area. Well, the soldiers in the Bay Area got their boots on the ground. The mighty soldiers are out seeking to save that which is lost, helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Shout out to the soldiers of Oakland, California. Well, let's stay right back here in Charlotte, North Carolina. You know Charlotte, North Carolina. That's where we had the Holy Day of Atonement. Organized, fast-moving soldiers, fast-thinking soldiers, crack squad soldiers, right down to the modern time. Original salute, Charlotte,
keep up the good work, soldiers. They call it Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. But in the Sin City, there's some soldiers there, saviors, out in the community helping to reform our people. Followers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the FOI, got their boots on the ground. Shout out, Las Vegas, Memphis, Tennessee. Yes, Student Minister Anthony Muhammad, you know him. He's the host of the Ramadan prayer line every year. Well, Student Minister Anthony and the soldiers in Memphis, Tennessee got their boots on the ground, seeking to save that which is lost, helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan save our people. Shout out, Memphis. Miami, Florida. Miami, Florida got their boots on the ground. The mighty soldiers of Miami, Florida. Shout out, soldiers, saviors and soldiers. That's the 7th region. Minister, student minister, regional minister, Rasul Muhammad is down there in Miami. And one of our guests on the line tonight, Brother Tony Muhammad, is from Miami. The soldiers got their boots on the ground. Shout out, Miami. Well, this last city, we want to acknowledge at the top city in this week's Boots on the Ground. They're from the Bay Area also. It's called the mighty city of San Francisco. Yeah. You know San Francisco. The soldiers of San Fran got their boots on the ground. Saviors and soldiers in San Francisco. Shout out to the soldiers in San Francisco. Next, we'll be back in 2 weeks with some more cities that you may not know. We got soldiers in there helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan advance our people forward. So next week, or in 2 weeks rather, we'll be right back with some more of those mighty cities. All praise is due to Allah. Well, we got a few minutes left before we go into our next segment, and I want to personally take this time before the end of the show, because sometimes we run out of time at the end of the show. And I want to acknowledge a sister of ours who has made her transition recently. She's a marvelous mother of one of the fine FOI, Fruit of Islam, down in Columbus, Georgia, Brother Marshall Muhammad. His mother, last Tuesday, before our show, several hours before our show, Sister Janetta Anthony made her transition. I want to shout out to my brother Marshall and let him know that he's in our prayers, and we pray Allah that he helps to heal him and his family from such a loss in their home, his mother. Sister Janetta would listen to Nation Building Network. She started when we got this show out on the front line with the Fruit of Islam. And from the advertisements of our show announcing what the shows were coming throughout the week, she would listen to all the shows, Sister Gidget, Black Caesar, DJ Black Caesar, all the way down to Brother Vernon on Sundays. So she is actually a nation-building family member. She will truly be missed. And Brother Marshall, we love you, soldier. Stay strong. We are here. We'll talk again. And I just wanted to acknowledge Mother and her participation with the Nation Building Network. May Allah bless you, soldier, and the mighty soldiers and believers down in Columbus, Georgia. Let's move right ahead now to our next segment, Farrakhan Speaks. Let's see who's on the line tonight. Is Brother Tony Muhammad on the line, Brother Rafi?
Yes, sir. I'll open up his mic right now.
All praise is due to Allah. Let's get him on in here real fast.
Brother Tony is on.
I say, Assalamu alaikum, sir. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank Allah, sir. I'm glad that you're on the line tonight. From Miami, Florida, this is the assistant, student assistant minister to student regional minister Rasul Muhammad down in Muhammad's Mosque number 29, Miami, Florida. Is Brother Ray Muhammad from Atlanta on the line?
I see a 678 number here.
Oh, yes, brother. That's the student. That's the former state captain of Birmingham. You don't want to hold him up, Rafi.
678, your line is open.
That's top gun right there. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
678, your line
is Brother Ray Muhammad on the line? All right. Well, we'll give him a minute. He should be showing up any moment now, Brother Rafi.
Okay.
All right. Yes, sir?
I'm on the line, Brother Jihad.
There he is. There's my brother. That's my captain right there. Brother Ray Muhammad, the former state captain of Birmingham, Alabama, now here with us in Muhammad's Mosque 15, Atlanta, Georgia. How are you, sir?
Sir, I'm doing absolutely great. Thank you very much for inviting me back on the program. I was overly excited to be on here tonight.
Oh, praise be to Allah, brother. We're going to have a good time with this Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks. Is Brother Student Minister Abel Muhammad on the line? Do you see him out there, Brother Rafi?
No, sir. I don't see his hand up at this moment, sir.
All right. Well, he should be coming up any moment now. He's got about 2 or 3 minutes. But let me get started. Let me go ahead and get started. Can everyone hear me well?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we're waiting on student Mr. Abel, but while we're waiting, brother, let me say part three of the time and what must be done. Wow. What a message Saturday, Brother Tony.
Yes, sir.
What say you, sir? What stuck out at you the most this past week?
There was so much, but let me begin properly. And أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. I bear witness Muhammad is messenger and servant. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Yes, sir. There was so, just like the first two programs, there's just so much, and I'm sure that we would not be able, there are volumes. Literally volumes in just a sentence or two of what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has to say to us in each one of these broadcasts. Literally volumes.
Yes.
A sentence or two, because his language as his teacher, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a very specific language. A mathematically precise language when he speaks to us. Every word is calculated. And he tells us in practically all of his lectures, even when he doesn't tell us, we should be doing this, we should be parsing, we should be clearing every word that he utters, because every word is very specific, very germane
mm-hmm.
to addressing particular things that we are experiencing in this time. And of course, very appropriately, the lecture series, the discussion is entitled The Time and What Must Be Done, a lecture series that was given to us when he was amongst us. Of course, I'm speaking about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yes.
Since I am an educator, and I educate by way of the area of history, what stuck out, one particular, many things, of course, stuck out, many things, but I will since I am a history teacher, I'll begin with one of my strengths, which is history. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan mentions how the Emancipation Proclamation did not free black people.
Mm-hmm.
And I even say that the 13th Amendment did not free black people.
Right.
We were not given, this is what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said in the program, we were not given what was needed in order to give us independence, not true independence. He mentioned how within 12 years of the so-called freedom that we were given here in North America, black people built 60 towns in America. Well, we have to take a look at what bounded us to white people, what bounded us to this country. Well, as soon as the Civil War ended, and this is just verifying what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan discusses in the program. Missionaries, white missionaries, traveled from the North to the South. And on the surface level, we could, you know, it could, well, I wouldn't say we, but it could be argued that they were beneficent and, you know, caring and wanted black people to have an education. But the truth of the matter is, this education that was provided, which was really better than what white people were experiencing at that time throughout the South, white people, particularly poor white people, the majority of the white people that were living in the South were poor and did not have good access to education. If white people went to schools, they went just for a few grades in elementary school and then they dropped out. By and large, they worked on farms. They were organized, put up by their families, and they continued the family business. So their education was, by and large, very poor, and the ones that were receiving the education at a more qualitative level, really, were black people. But the whole purpose of it was to keep black people in the South and not moving to the North where there were better opportunities. The South was in shambles after the Civil War. And so by keeping black people in the South, by educating them, and now building up these towns after the Civil War that literally destroyed many of the cities in the South, now it was black people that were building them up. Black people were also being elected into public office. And so black people who were really never given a real choice as to becoming citizens or not, they became citizens by way of the 14th Amendment, bounding them further to America. And, of course, you're dealing with people that were not far away from being slaves just a few years prior, and so accepted this decision, if you will. And so this has bounded black people to this country, but the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan goes further and discussing that really there was no need for black people at a certain point. After they have built all these towns in the country, what purpose would they serve? He made reference to George Washington, originally making the statement. He said, many white people believe we are no longer useful, and we have become, as George Washington put it, a troublesome species of property. After black people had been used for their skills, because white people, it was very uncommon to find white people with true skills, building skills, masonry, or anything of that nature, having any true knowledge of architecture, our people had that knowledge. And so once they were done utilizing the services of black people, what purpose would they serve? After 1877, there was a literal war that was launched against black people all over the South that carried on into the 20th century. And it was most apparent that this was taking place in the form of lynchings. At one point in this country, black people were being lynched, particularly black men were being lynched once every other day, which later on, right prior to 1930, a black man was lynched once every 4 days. So if you start calculating by the numbers, how many thousands and thousands of black people that were killed, lynched during that time, we start realizing that white people really had no need for black people in this country. And so today it has even gone further in the form of utilizing us for the military and also for the prison industrial complex, which I could go further on.
Yes.
I want to give the opportunity to the other brother.
Yes.
To comment on the program. But there was so much in what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan had to say.
Yes, praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Student Minister Abel, are you there?
Wa alaikum salam, yes sir, can you hear me?
Yes I can, dear brother, how are you tonight?
Good, by Allah's grace.
Good, good. I got Brother Ray. Brother Ray, go ahead, sir. What jumped at you, and then I'm going to get your Brother Abel, but let me ask Brother Ray, what jumped out at you, sir, in Saturday's part three of the time and what must be done?
Well, first of all, let me say, in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness as no God but Allah, I greet you and the family and the radio listening audience and the nation. Greeting words of peace. Allah, salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
What, I mean, there was so much. First of all, I thank the Honorable Louis Farrakhan for what he's doing for us. 52 weeks of us hearing him week after week after week after week. I'm just so elated that our leader and teaching guy have decided to put this series out before the world.
Yes.
What stood out for me, week one, week two, segueing it into week three, is the end of what Minister Farrakhan was dealing with, the warning piece. That
mm-hmm.
there was profoundly powerful for me because Minister Farrakhan have articulated that I have been warning you that white people, talking to us black people at that particular point, I have been warning you that white people are tired of you.
Right.
I have been warning you for years upon years that they're going to sick the military on you. They're going to sick their police department on you. They're going to even sick you and I on one another. He said that the white man has let us go. And the minister was very, very strong in their warning, but he said, y'all, that we're not listening to his warning. So now it seems like the serpents are going to begin to start stinging us.
Mm-hmm.
The bloodshed that's in the streets there, gang violence, but white people are really coming out of their shell now by over-preponderance. They're really not giving a damn about black lives anymore, and they're killing us wholesale now. Minister Farrakhan warned us that we're going to have to unite as a family and begin to start doing things for ourselves. Minister Farrakhan went on and began to start throwing statistics out at us. The numbers,
yes.
I mean,
right.
The disparity among black and white unemployment was still going to this white man, begging this man for a job, and the minister have been asking us to get up and do something for ourselves. He's been teaching us for years. He's been warning us for years, and what stood out to me profoundly, bruh, was when Minister Farrakhan was dealing with that warning. I mean, just the numbers in and of itself. You understand that there's no more jobs. I mean, the millions of white people that's out of work, and then we mm-hmm. black people thinking we're going to get jobs in white America. The minister told us that's not going to happen. They don't have
good
enough
point.
Jobs for their own people, and here we are still begging, like Lazarus in the scripture, begging for the crumbs that fall off the rich man's table. And these weak mamsy-pamsy leaders that we got, man, are still leading us into this civil rights-type movement stuff, that civil rights-type mentality, and the minister is trying to free our minds and give us an independent thought so we can begin to start building an independent nation. So I was profoundly moved by that. You understand? I didn't get a chance because I was supposed to have been on last time, but the minister, if I could segue back, when the minister said to President Obama, just come on out of the streets, man, with me. Here is this
mm-hmm.
man going to Pharaoh. The man is going to Pharaoh, and he's asking Pharaoh, just let man, you're not going to do anything. You don't have any job for us. You're killing us wholesale. Let us go. Let us build a reality for ourselves. But he
yes.
also challenged the president. president of this old great country of ours to come out in the streets of Chicago and let those parents see you, Mr. President, like those white parents are seeing you where white lives is taken. So that hit me so hard, man. And then when the minister warning was I guess the highlight of what I heard on Saturday, because I was blessed to be listening to the message with one of my sons, as you understand, and then that warning, I'm looking at him. I'm looking at this boy, and I'm looking at this 18-year-old young man, listening to Minister Farrakhan and the light that comes on in his eyes after listening to the minister. And this
yes,
is
sir.
What we got to do more of, Brother Jahad. We got to get back in the streets like Minister Farrakhan is telling us to do, man, and go after these young warriors so when the enemy begins to attack, we'll have a defense mechanism already in place, and these young brothers become our protectors. So
beautiful. That's right.
Profoundly powerful for me, man. For me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It moved me so much, man. And, of course, I'm a military man.
Right, right.
So, of course, I'm going to lean more towards going out there, getting our people, going out there, establishing something for our people, and then putting a nail in the devil's coffin, because that's what Louis Farrakhan is representing, man.
That's right.
So that piece there was the most profound thing that I got out of the whole hour that the minister was speaking.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, sir. Brother Student Minister Abel, sir. Brother,
yes, sir.
That was a powerful one Saturday, sir. What say you?
Oh, yes, sir. Let me just start again by just greeting you and the brothers on the line and our brothers and sisters that may be listening via telephone or computer or however they're able to listen to this, and the greeting words of peace of Assalamu Alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam.
And I agree with Brother Ray. I mean, the intensity, I would say, of the minister's plea, again, opening with the 103rd surah
mm-hmm.
of the Holy Quran, again, wherein it reads, by the time, surely man is in loss, except those who believe and do good and exhort one another to truth and exhort one another to patience. You know, this was the third week. And he's recited those three ayats or verses of the Quran for us for 3 weeks now. And
right.
And he's setting the tone with it. And I thought it was interesting that he raised up, and he has been each of the weeks, but each time going into a different aspect and a little deeper and a little more area that he's covering each time. But I thought the way that he opened reading that surah and then telling us that time is a standard by which we can judge our actions.
That's right.
If we reject the knowledge of the time and go contrary to what must be done in accord with that knowledge, then our rejection will not only bring us loss, but it will bring us death.
Mm, right.
Set the tone right at the beginning. This is not a plaything here when a man of God who's been serving our people for 52 going on 53 years now, since 1955.
That's right.
He decides to take on top of the 52 year plus years of service, now he's going to take on a 52-week schedule of coming on to teach us on this subject.
Yes.
And to give us that kind of balance, I thought, and when I say balance, I mean so that we can come out of the degenerate world that we're in and rise up to the position that God is placing us and has chosen us for, that it's truly that serious. It's life or death. It's not just about loss. I had to look up the word, and loss means detriment, disadvantage, or deprivation from failure to keep, have, or get.
Yes.
It also means something that is lost. But he was talking about the most extreme aspect of loss, which is when we lose our lives.
Yes.
There's no coming back from that physical loss. And I thought if you listen to the minister as he built the case, as he started with us and our condition and shared with us God's anger with us as a people
right.
for rejecting the guidance that has come, he then did not leave the white man or the government of America out.
That's right.
That's right.
And starts to talk about the weather and the plagues, and he said that America, I'm sorry to tell you, the calamities will get greater and greater,
right,
more severe, unfortunately, tremendous loss of property and increased loss of life. So you
That's
see
right.
that this is not some plaything here, brother. I think the fact that he would take up such a rigorous 52-week commitment, most of
right.
us can't commit to something for 2 weeks, for 2 days,
right.
for a month. It's difficult. But if here's a man going after all of these years of work, not burnt out, but he says, I'm sprinting to the finish line now.
Yes.
And I think it really should set the tone for us of the time, but that guidance that I quoted at the beginning, that it's a standard by which we can judge our actions. Well, a standard is something considered by an authority or by general consent to be a basis of comparison, an approved model or rule or principle used as a standard for judgment.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
we as believers, let's look at the time, not mm-hmm. the time on our clock, but let's look at the environment that we're in. And if we're in loss, then are we up to the standard that he's raising in these three ayahs? Are we
right.
believing and doing good? Are we exhorting one another to truth and exhorting one another to patience? If we're exhorting one another to patience, that means we should be working.
Yes,
if we're
right.
exhorting one another to truth, that means we should be studying. We should be prayerful. We should be faithful. If we're believing and doing good, that means there should be activity around us.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
right.
And we should be having an impact on our community. And if we're not, it's because we're out of time.
Yeah.
And we are then in loss. But the Quran and the Bible talk about us not as losers, but as the winners, the victors, and the champions. So if we as so-called believers in God and his Christ and the Mahdi are feeling lost, then maybe we need to check our activity and compare it up to the standard which God's man is raising. And that, to me, was the biggest blessing and the most impactful thing, was that not only was he pointing out to us the doom which we're in the midst of, the judgment that we're in the midst of right now, but he was also giving us the door out, the standard by which we could come up out of that condition and be what God intends for us to be. Man, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful
yes,
time.
Sir.
To be alive and to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
All praise is due to Allah. And brother Tony, let me say what you were just talking about, brother, that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan quoted for us. He said, 12 to 13% of America is black. And we make up 72.7% of the almost 2.1 million male inmates in jail or prison.
Right. Yeah.
He says one in every 10 is in prison or jail on any given day.
That's right.
Then he said more black men are incarcerated today than were enslaved in 1850. Brother
yes,
Tony,
sir.
What say you, sir?
Yes, sir. And all praise is due to Allah, dear brother. It's just the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I literally paused the segment several times just to take down all the statistics that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan shared with us, because they are indeed alarming.
Yes.
And what comes to mind, dear brother, the more colonized we are, the dimmer our outlook is in terms of our opportunities. There is no coincidence. The higher our unemployment rate is, the higher our incarceration rate is, the more we suffer in terms of education, because if we don't see ourselves, I mean, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan didn't go into that, I don't believe, in this particular, well, he did hit on educational attainment, but if we do not see ourselves in this very educational system that he's providing, then we see a correlation that we are not succeeding in his educational system. So it is not by coincidence also. He did not mention so-called Latinos. However, if you take a look at the two particular groups among so-called Latinos who view have an outlook of being colonized the most, and, of course, a scholar, Native American scholar by the name of Joel Spring. He's written
mm-hmm.
several books on education. He's called particularly Puerto Ricans and Mexican people. conquered cultures. And if you take a look at their educational attainment, they're the ones that have the lowest level of educational attainment in this country, very close in proximity to black people here in North America.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing goes for those groups' incarceration rates, very high in comparison to black people, and very disproportionate, of course, in comparison to white people. If we do not see a future for ourselves in this country, well, we see the result. But the thing is, we ourselves don't think that way. We do not think very logically. We have lost the conception of cause and effect. And so when we speak to our people, they talk to us about racism being over. And they talk about racism being over in a way that they've been indoctrinated by the educational system to think that racism is a thing of the past. But when they look outside their windows every morning, they see racism, but they just don't recognize it as being racism. The high disproportionalities of our communities, I mean, it's very, very high. It's very disproportionate.
Yes.
But we ourselves
yes.
don't realize how racism, racial discrimination, environmental racism has played a huge part, educational racism has played a huge part as to why we're suffering in the condition that we are. And so the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is a great mercy to us today in just making this lecture series available by way of the Internet. He said, and I said this before in last week's segment, that when he took on the mission, he said he was going to take these teachings to every nook and cranny of North America.
Yes.
However, now, in this time, through modern technology, he's able to reach out to every nook and cranny on this planet Earth. And so if he's working diligently to reach our people, what do we look like not working diligently to reach out to our people and aiding to save our people's lives?
That's correct.
Yes, sir.
All praises due to Brother Ray.
Yes, sir.
He says about 3.9 million homes went into foreclosure in 2011. In 2010, 3.8 million homes. He said 2009, 3.4 million homes. 2008, 3 million homes. A total of 13 million Americans lost homes in the last 5 years. Then he said 2008, 25 banks failed. 2009, 140 banks failed. 2010, 157 banks failed. 2011, 92 banks failed. 2012, 39 banks failed. Brother Ray, this is a recipe for civil war for every sort. What say you, sir?
Well, Brother Jahar, that really takes my mind now to the man that have taught and raised the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. That's the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. The statistic that you just articulated to the listeners is the fall of America.
Yes.
We got that book back in the 60s, and Minister Farrakhan dealt with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and who that man really is to us.
Yes.
He gave us a detail, a detailed description, details of who the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is. Here's a man born from Georgia, born from the state that we're in right now, a man with a third grade education, goes to the fourth grade, meet a man. That man met with God in person, and now this man is able to, with these teachers here, 82 years we've been in this, man raising up and balance the most wickedest government in the last 6,000 years, the United States government of America. And that man, Elijah Muhammad, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, raising Honorable Louis Farrakhan up, empowering Minister Farrakhan to go after the black man here in America.
Yes.
And so the statistics that you just articulated to us, it reminded me when we was back in slavery and then the Emancipation. I think their brother Tony spoke on that. The Emancipation Proclamation, they freed us. Then 12 years after that, they took everything that they had from us.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're doing with the foreclosure. like they're doing with these banks that's falling in all of our money in these banks. We need to get our money out of these white folks' banks and then get our own banking system that we had when the messenger was on the scene. Until
that's
we
right.
come up out of America, man, we're going to continue to go down with this old wicked country, bro. The Donovan Miller
right.
have been telling us, I go back to it, telling us that Babylon is falling.
Mm-hmm.
Our people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, man. Well, then if the people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, then what knowledge do these people lack that's destroying them? It's the knowledge of self. And it's incumbent
yes.
upon us, those of us who know, those of us with these exes and these Muhammads that's doing other than ourselves, man, the world is looking at us.
Mm-hmm.
So the fire sign is doing is absolutely reversing what the devil have done with social media, and he's ordering the young people now, you get on social media, and after I speak, you get on social media, and I want you to text, tweet about something that you heard or something that you liked out to the public so we can begin to start balancing off all of this wickedness that's on social media. Those
right.
people with holy names as Muhammad and Rashid and all of these holy names, we can't be other than ourselves in the public like that. But Minister Farrakhan now has given the young people, and really all of us, he's given us orders. Go out there and let people know what I'm doing now. Talk to them about something that I'm saying on this broadcast every week. And then let that stimulate dialogue. Don't argue with them. Don't get angry with them. Debate them in the best of manners. I mean, what type of man does that? And that man
right.
being guided by God to do what he's doing, man. America is falling. And until we realize, we, the nation of Islam, realize that this government, America, is falling, and we got to get the hell out the way so Allah can do with America what Allah has already predicted, a plan that he was going to do. We, some of us in the nation, is in the way.
Yes.
Minister Farrakhan has been telling us to do for self, man. Why can't we begin to pull resources together, build institutions and businesses so these babies that's coming out of these schools, man, don't have to go to no white man a job or anything. They go to a job that we created for them. And we are empowering
right.
our economic system, man. We
that's
got
right.
to begin to do for self. And until we, the Nation of Islam and the mosques all throughout the country, the messenger said that these mosques are employment centers. Really? Can we really say that honestly? Minister Farrakhan is doing his job, man. We got to be on our post and do our, when the man word go out there, we got to be a doer of what that man say. Because he's only charged with clear delivery of the word. He's not charged with nothing else, building no restaurants, building no businesses. That's what we, the foot soldiers in the nation, are supposed to be doing.
That's right.
Dear brother, we have got to begin to get our lazy behinds up, back that man, bro. And whenever he says something, man, we find the 10 million shouldn't be an issue, Brother Jihad. It shouldn't be an issue, man. We should do 10 million at Minister Farrakhan. When it came out of his mouth, we, the Nation of Islam, should have already given him that money right now.
Yes, sir.
If he was on our point and on point on our
yes.
post, man. So it bothers me sometimes that we become lazy, lackadaisical, man, and slowing down the death of the white man. Muslims, get the hell out of the white man's way, out of law way, and let Allah kill this beast. Okay, if I got a little strong, bro, that's just my
that's
spirit.
Right. Yes,
my
sir.
Spirit,
all praise is due to Allah. You're out on the front line with the Fruit of Islam tonight. We're in our segment, Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks. Student Assistant Minister Tony Muhammad from Muhammad's Mosque 29, Miami, Florida. Student Minister Abel Muhammad from Mosque Maryam in Chicago. And our brother from Atlanta, Georgia, former state captain of Birmingham, Alabama, Brother Ray Muhammad. Brother Abel, what say you, sir? What else jumped out at you, sir, this Saturday? Part three,
you know,
of the time and what must be done.
Yes, sir, dear brother. You know, one of the things that, outside of all of the facts and data that the minister gave us,
mm-hmm.
where he was clearly pointing out to us the issues of the of America as a government and its people, where he mentions the clearly how the rich are just getting richer and the poor are
right.
getting poorer. I heard you discuss the amount of foreclosures a few minutes ago.
Yes, sir.
And he also mentioned that 1.2 million households in the top 1% of the U.S. saw
right.
their income increase by 5.5%.
That's right.
While the bottom 96 million households or the bottom 80%, their income fell.
Yes.
by 1.7%.
That's correct.
And he also mentioned that workers have lost an average of 25% of their 401ks. While at the same time, the wealth of the 400 richest Americans went up by $30 billion.
That's right.
Wow.
I mean, just, and that's what they really fear from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is a man
mm-hmm.
with the ability to clearly state facts. This is not
yes.
emotional. You don't have to believe in this or disbelieve in it. This is an irrefutable statistical fact. Whether you're Christian, whether you're Muslim, whether you're black,
right.
whether you're white, all of us are affected by this. Yet most of us as a people don't know the truth of this.
Right.
And that is what leads to statistics like 89% of the American people being dissatisfied with the performance of the Congress and their government.
Right.
89%
right.
of the people.
Not that's right.
black.
That's right.
People, Hispanic, Asian, everyone is dissatisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Then you mix that dissatisfaction, that confusion, that disappointment with a country that has over 350 million guns.
Right. Come on, brother.
In a country that doesn't have 350 million people yet.
Mm-hmm.
That means there's more guns than people in this country.
Right.
That's right.
And it
right.
gives you the thinking and the orientation of a people and a system that we cannot or we can no longer allow to continue and that we have to get out of. But the problem, as the minister pointed out so beautifully on Saturday, is that we're in the system right now.
That's right.
And though God is showing us a way out, God himself has come to intervene in our affairs, but we reject that guidance.
Come on, brother.
As a whole, as a people. And so those few amongst us who are willing to say, yes, I'll stand for truth. Yes, I want to be obedient to God. We have to be all the more tighter on our post.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a gravitational pull either that the grave is having on us or that we're going to have on those in the grave that we're trying to snatch out by Allah's permission.
That's right.
Right.
So
that's right.
I agree with our brother. Yes, we have to get economic development going. And, of course, it's not by accident that this Savior's Day, what's the theme that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has
blueprint.
Picked?
That's right.
The economic
Muhammad.
Blueprint of Muhammad. So
that's
we
right.
Have to be, we have to stay behind the man of God, and as brother said, when he puts the word out, we have to be now in a position to be ready to run and fly with what he says.
Yes.
We no longer have time. We don't have to deliberate after he's spoken. He's
That's
deliberating right.
right
now with the Lord of the world and his Christ, waiting for that guidance so that when we receive it, we don't have to go take no poll about what needs to be done.
That's right. That's right.
We don't have to go in the community and ask them, what do they need? God and his servant are telling us what they need. And I had to read this post because as you and I and the brothers are here talking, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is sending out divine guidance through Twitter.
Come on.
He just posted a few moments ago while you all were talking, Mr. Farrakhan said, stand up for what you believe is right. And don't fear the consequences of man when you stand up for God and his truth. Now, that's clear marching orders for us.
That's right.
That's right.
If we believe God's servant has told us, go get $1,000 apiece so that we can buy farmland. Did you notice on Saturday he mentioned that the ground in Texas is drying up and they no longer are going to have cattle and they've had to be done
that's right.
to eat the cattle? Did
right,
you
right.
know I saw a post today from a sister on Facebook saying she went to some restaurant and there was a sign saying that they were low on beef?
Mm.
days, hours, minutes. He told us to watch the weather. And Sunday evening, there was an ice storm in Chicago. Today, it was 60-plus degrees here.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
We see God is responding and backing his servant's word to verify that this is a man that is not speaking of himself. This is not just some good brother with a nice idea who loves black people. No, this is a servant of the Almighty. And he
right.
is backed by that might. And what we need to do is be better, more successful, get out of loss and into gain by being obedient to the simple instructions he keeps giving us.
Come
We've
on,
got
buddy.
To be
You're
in
right.
the nation. We got about 30 days from here to Savior's Day. Let's get on our fasts. Let's get on our prayers. Let's get on going into the neighborhood with the final call, inviting people to Savior's Day, inviting people to allow them to contribute to their own salvation through the Savior's Day gift, so that they can not just save themselves physically through the purchase of land and farmland, but spiritually be saved by sacrificing for the benefit of us as a whole. We've got to do all those things. We got to be today what we should have always been, which is authentic Muslims.
That's right.
Come on,
That's
come
right.
on.
Striving, yes, but no longer allowing ourselves to fall back into what we know we shouldn't have. We've got to just do better and be better today so that we can get out of loss and get our people out of loss. But we can't get them out of loss if we don't get ourselves out of loss first.
Come
so
on,
I'm
brother.
Just thankful
Come
to
on,
know that we have a man that you and I don't have to lean on our own understanding. He's giving us guidance and instruction right on up to this modern time.
That's right.
That's right.
Praise be to Allah. You're out on the front line with the fruit of Islam. Brother Tony, what
yes,
say you, sir? What else jumped out at you? There's so much, but I know there's some more that you want to elaborate on. Go right ahead, sir.
I would like to veggie back off of Brother Abel, if I may.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
We don't. We certainly, surely do not say piggyback.
Absolutely.
let me make reference to one of the scriptures that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan mentioned in Numbers chapter 21, verse 6. It says, "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died." The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, while he was closing the segment, he said, "I pray that you will respond to this call." Basically, it's a warning to us. He was showing us all these warning signs, which he's going to be showing us more warning signs
right.
in the future weeks to come. And I believe it will become more and more intense. And the more intense it becomes harder to resist. And so it is imperative that we inform whoever we can about this segment coming up each and every Saturday. In terms of historical reference, just dealing with this particular chapter and verse from Numbers, if we take a look back into history, following the Emancipation Proclamation and the 13th Amendment, which we know that the 13th Amendment itself, it did not end slavery in all forms, but there's an exceptional clause in there that if you are convicted of a felony, then all of your rights could be stripped away
That's
from
right.
you and you could be put back into a state of servitude. Well, the South was passing all these laws called the Black Codes, the Black Codes, excuse me, which came from the old slave codes during slavery times. And so all these strange laws were being created and called felonies. If you were hanging out outside your house with no job, well, that was considered to be a felony. So now you had to go work on the plantation or on the building of the railroad. Other weird laws were being created intentionally to keep white workers away from black workers, because now black workers were starting to become more assertive, and they were demanding higher pay, and they started becoming more assertive and wanted better working rights, better working conditions. And so some white people started listening to them. And so these strange laws started to be developed. Particularly in Florida, there was one law in the workplace that a white worker and a black worker could not look outside the same window. And those laws were intentionally created to keep white workers and black workers away from one another. And so these white bosses were paying white workers slightly higher than black workers just to make them believe that they were superior. And the more and more that they divided white workers from black workers, it was in a way, and not just in a way, but making the white workers feel that they are superior. And the argument that the black workers and black people were taking the jobs of white people and taking their education, as I made reference earlier, that at one point black people in the South were receiving a better education than white people. Well, white people started taking away those schools that black children were benefiting from, and they started sending them to little shacks, where now those were called schoolhouses. And so it was no coincidence that the level of lynchings were intensifying in the country between the 1880s and the early 20th century. You found areas of the country like Tulsa, Oklahoma, where you had the sections of town called Black Wall Street. Those were literally destroyed by white people at any opportunity that they had, any excuse that they had to destroy these black segments of town, whether it was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or other parts of the country where black people were thriving. They took the opportunity to destroy those thriving. And so we see that those kind of things taking place. And it was not just riots. What took place in Tulsa, Oklahoma in particular, it was literally a race war that took place for about 4 months. And so as it happened in that time, where black people were being scapegoated for all the problems in this country, and today black people, Mexicans, other Latinos are being scapegoated for the economic problems that exist in this country. Well, as it was in those times, do we not believe that those times will come back again? Take a look at Katrina. Take a look at what black people experience. Our problem today, dear brother, is that we are an ahistorical people. We do not connect what we are experiencing in the present with what happened to us in the past. And so those are some things that we have to be very mindful of, and we have to gear up when it comes down to our knowledge of history and when it comes down to the knowledge of the scripture, because when we analyze the scripture, that's really history that's written in advance. If we get the proper interpretation of the scripture, as laid down for us by Allah himself, Master Farad Muhammad, then we will know the knowledge of the time and what must be done. And it is imperative that we tune in to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to receive that knowledge.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Yes, sir. Brother Ray.
Yes, sir.
Come on, soldier. What else stood out at you on the time and what must be done, part three, sir?
Well, dear brother, as I'm listening to the two wonderful brothers, and I'm learning so much from Brother Tony and Brother Abel, I love the both of you, dear brothers. I guess the movie Django Unchained, the minister went into that again. You understand? And he went in that and tied that into the reason why prior to President Obama being elected, there was only a few hundred militia groups. Now, since the man has been reelected, there's well over 1,200 militia groups. Again, Brother Abel mentioned something from the minister of words that now there's well over 300 weapons, assault rifle weapons. These are military. I'm a former Marine.
Yes.
When they taught me to break my A1 service rifle down, I could break it down in 23 seconds and put it back together. And if I didn't put the firing pin in there, then the rifle, my M16 would not fire. These little babies now, 5, 6, 7 years old, are being trained and taught how to break down assault rifles, militaristic style weapons. You understand? And we're sitting around here wondering about and playing like this thing is not going to go down, and it has been prophesied that civil unrest is going to happen.
Minister Farrakhan said on Saturday what's happening over in Egypt and the other far countries. Do you not think that America is going to get a taste of that? And then, Mr. President, what will happen when you said Gaddafi and those other ones was killing and shooting down their own citizens? What happens when the militia groups begin to start rising up in America? Because as Brother Abel and quoting from what Minister Farrakhan has said, 89% of the people in America is dissatisfied with the Congress. Only 11% saying they're doing an okay job. Now, these people now, the militia groups are angry. Black people are on the rise at this particular point. So now, if a white man don't get a job and the black man happens to get that, and the white man is going to begin to start thinking, then why does this nigga got this job? I mean, what's going to happen when they go over the cliff? Minister Farrakhan mentioned to us, 2.2 million people are no longer going to have money. What do you think Minister Farrakhan said to us that that is going to produce? And here is a movie that comes out and shows that a black man is killing white people. Not only is he killing one or two of them, he's killing crackers by this. He's killing them all throughout the movie. White women and white men and children, he's killing them. When have you ever known in our history? I have never known this. In my history, I saw a movie that a black man is killing white people at the rate that movie demonstrated. So now it's absolutely feeding the appetite of the militias that this could potentially happen, that black people are going to remember what we did to them back in the slavery time, remember us in our wrong, join on to some other army and come against us.
Yes.
It is ever more important than us, the FOI, those who know better, those who follow Louis Farrakhan, now have to begin to pick up our efforts a little more, hit these streets, and make sure that the brothers are well organized so when this thing goes down, at least they have some measure of defense. Yes, Allah is going to intervene, and he's going to fight our battles. There's no doubt about that. But if somebody's coming into our neighborhood, there's got to be a trained group of us to be able to deal with that force that's coming in trying to kill our women and our children. So we have to begin to start organizing, start training, start doing what the Honorable Louis Farrakhan said, and I'm so glad that this Savings Day, Minister Farrakhan, is reintroducing the economic program, because I don't know what's wrong with us as Muslims. We got all this wisdom, all this knowledge. We know the reality of God, who the original man is, who the enemy of God is, but we're poor, ragged, and we're hungry, and we're damn near outdoors. That don't seem right to me. At some point, we're going to have to begin to pull the resources together so we can begin to start creating our own Islamic community like everybody else. We can't rely on, we can't expect that the broader nation of Islam, the lost found, is going to do that we, the nation of Islam, have not yet begun to do. We're going to have to get better at that. I will echo this until I die, man. We got to pull the resources together, build an economic reality for ourselves. So my son, Sharif and Shaquem, my sons out there can go out there and don't have to worry about working for nobody. They can go to their own company, man, and they can hire the other teenagers in their own age group, because it's something ran by black people, owned by black people, and supported by black people, like we did when the most honorable Elijah Muhammad was among us. We got to be better followers of that man, Louis Farrakhan, like they were back when the messenger was on the scene, and they built businesses and airplanes and airports and banks and farmland and schools and restaurants and all of this that we demand back then. Can we not, with all our degrees, all of our intelligence, we cannot reproduce that, at least that, and then move forward? So, brother, that's kind of where I am with that, man.
All praise is due to Allah.
I love us, man, and we just got to speed up our efforts going after our people, particularly that black man, and don't walk by him because he smells bad. Hell, we smell bad before somebody came after us.
Yes, sir.
Step over that, brother, man. because he's drinking, smoking, and all that. Now we done become all holy and whatnot, and we can't go back into places of ill repute. Then we're not doing what the minister's doing, because he's out there in the streets reaching in his pocket, giving the drug dealers and those on drugs and those on alcohol, those who pork-eating people. He ain't giving them money and giving them love. We've got to be able to do, and the minister don't have to give us permission to do that. He's already given that to us. We should be leading the charge now, going into the streets, man, and getting our people up, bro.
Go ahead. You're listening to Out on the Front Line with the Fruit of Islam in our segment, Farrakhan Speaks, Roundtable Talks. Student Minister Abel, there's no one else out there talking about the signs, sir. There's nobody else warning the people. What say you, sir?
Yes, sir, dear brother. Well, I mean, that, of course, is part of the divine plan of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
That he chooses one man and makes it distinct and very clear who and what his choice is, because what the man does, no one else can do. God would not double-cross himself by making it difficult for the people to tell where his guidance is, who his man is. That is should be clear to us.
Mm-hmm.
By now, and if it's not, it will become very, very clear in the days to come. But in particular, we who believe in and acknowledge that such a servant is amongst us, our responsibility is greater than the brothers who are still out in the street lacking the knowledge of self.
That's right.
Our responsibility is to help God's servant in delivering that message, in bringing the truth to our lost found brothers and sisters, and the era of time that we're in. You know, it's interesting, brothers, as I was studying that 103rd surah that the minister keeps quoting, Al-Asr,
yes,
the 103rd surah of the Holy Quran, it doesn't mean just the time. Some
mm-hmm.
scholars translate it as the age or the epoch, meaning an era of time.
Mm-hmm.
And as I studied something about and asked Brother Imam Sultan Rahman Muhammad some information about that chapter specifically is referred to as the time because it's referring to the time of the work of the Prophet, peace be upon him.
Mm-hmm.
It means the time that the work of Muhammad is done. It means a time frame where there is one worthy of praise doing that work which is he's commissioned by God to do. And mm-hmm. it's a set time when that work is done where those who are the helpers of the servants of God must recognize that time and then work in unison and in obedience to the servant's instructions as servants of God's servants to help and make sure that in that time is a special sort of time where because God's servant is present, we can be more successful than we've ever been before because God's servant is right there giving us not only the word, not only an explanation of the book, but a clear example and demonstration of what it is that we're supposed to be doing.
That's right.
Yes.
And we have to admit that last year, even though we knew we should have been out in the streets, a special time frame was begun for us when God's servant himself went out into the street.
Yeah, that's right.
In the history, that's written in the history of Muhammad. That's written in the history of Jesus. He
right.
himself has to go, not because just we've been derelict in our duty, although many of us may have been guilty of that, but there are certain things that have to be fulfilled in the scripture.
That's right.
Otherwise, we may be confused with who the man is. So even though, and I want to just give us all this tempering, the last thing that we hear in the 103rd surah that we have to have is we got to believe, we got to do good, we got to exhort one another to truth, but let's not overlook that last instruction.
That's right.
We have to exhort one another to patience. Now,
very
Brother
good.
Nuri Muhammad explained it beautifully last night. Go and listen to that lecture.
Right.
Patience doesn't mean we sit and wait for something to happen.
Right.
Patience means we endure through our own frustration, through our own shortcomings, through our own laziness. We get up and do what God's servant
we don't know why, even when we don't know how, we continue with love, with patience, with faith until our change comes. That's the patience that we have to have in this hour, the patience of faith and belief in action. Those who believe and do good. We're not really believers if we're not doing something with what we have. Our faith can be questioned. So we're in that critical time, brother, and you see God's man setting a frantic pace for us. We got to at least try to keep up with him. Let's not let him get so far ahead that we can no longer see him.
That's right. Close the gap. That's right.
Stay with him. Stay step in step. Let's flank him. Let's be around him, behind him, wherever we need to be so that he knows he has our support. And I know we have it in our hearts. And this world is against us. But if God be for us and we be for God and in obedience to his will, what is there that the enemy can do to us to deprive us of what God has already promised? That's the hour, that's the time we're in, brother. The time where we go from the losers to the champions. Man, I'm excited to be.
Yes, I'm
yes,
on that. Come
man,
on, brother.
Day.
All praise is due to Allah, brother. We have ran out of time, brother Abel. Oh, brother. We'll be back in 2 weeks. And so we're going to have to, when we come back, we'll have part four and part five to talk about. But that's our show for tonight. We want to thank all of our guests tonight. Sister Dawn Muhammad from Muhammad's Mosque 25 in North New Jersey. Student Minister Abel. Student Assistant Minister Tony Muhammad. And our brother, former State Captain of Birmingham, Alabama, now in Atlanta, Georgia, Brother Ray Muhammad. This Saturday, don't forget to tune in to www.noi.org at 6 o'clock Central Time to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, part 4 of his divine message, The Time and What Must Be Done. And on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock Central Time, tune in to the Nation of Islam webcast at www.noi.org. On Twitter, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan just said these words: stand up for what you believe is right, and don't fear the consequences of man when you stand up for God and his truth. To make a donation to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan raise $10 million to help feed our people and acquire land so that we can go for ourselves and take our mouths out of the enemy's kitchen, just go to www.noi.org and go to donations and give your support to a leadership that has supported you for over 50 plus years. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, stop by Muhammad's Mosque number 15 and enjoy our Sunday meetings with our student regional minister Abdul Sharif Muhammad at 3642 Hamilton Road, Atlanta, Georgia. To all the soldiers out there, you know what time it is. We got just about 4 weeks before Savior's Day. Let's push with urgency like we've never pushed before. Boots on the ground, soldiers. Go to our people and tell them to give to the leadership that supports them. You heard Brother Abel tonight. You heard Brother Ray tonight. You heard Brother Tony tonight. This is a matter of urgency. Go to our people. It is our duty to go after our people, to seek and save that which is lost, and help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan spread this message of the time and what must be done. We love you, dear Apostle, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Original salute to our Supreme Captain, Mustafa Farrakhan. And soldiers, don't forget, push. It's Savior's Day, and don't forget to pay our National Security Fund. May Allah bless us all. Happy Savior's Day. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, sir.